Next up on Talk Zone is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva. Are you concerned about your job? Concerned about losing it? Concerned about not having the tools needed to reinvent your career or to reposition yourself in the workplace? If the answer to any of these questions is yes, or even if you just want to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, then join the conversation right now on Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva. Now, here are your hosts, Charlie and Eva.
Hey, welcome everyone. It is Monday, August something, and we are live. Welcome to another edition of Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva. How are you?
I'm well, thanks.
That's good. We have a really exciting show ahead of us. We have returning guests, and these guys are really cool, and we want to talk to them some more. But in the meantime, you know, the mission of the show is to make a difference in the workplace, our careers, our lives, and the world, even as one person.
It's a big mission, but we can do it.
Yeah, it just seems like we reach a point where blah, 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 blah. Everybody seems to agree, but nobody really takes accountability, right?
Because it's hard.
It's really hard. I mean, I agree. It's sort of like when I did my book, 100% of the people I spoke with agreed there are issues, problems, and concerns in the workplace. 100% also agreed, that same 100%, that issues, problems, and concerns are caused by others.
I know, right?
That's the problemo.
It is the problemo.
Right. You know, we want to start taking accountability. We want to start understanding that building a better workplace starts with us, but also building a better life starts with us.
Right. And that's kind of what we're going to be speaking with our guests today, because it really is, you know, some of the same, and I don't think this is a stretch to say this, some of the same issues that we have at work also happen in our home, too. And that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yeah, no, I agree. And it is about the home, you know. It's all about, you know, everything matters is what we say, right?
Right.
And it absolutely starts in the home and the relationship. And also, one other thing is, you know, if you learn a little more about relationships, even the work relationships improve, right?
Right, absolutely.
You know, I mean, it's all about everything.
It is.
So last year, we had these guests, a couple, Matt and Deborah Trusella, and they kind of, you know, took me by surprise a little bit, right? They were really cool at what they did. They were really humble. They were really committed, but they were really sharp, you know? Sometimes we misunderstand, you know, understanding our mission as weakness, you know, if we're
right.
Really nice about what we're trying to do, you know.
Right.
But these guys really seem to have it, and I learned from them, and we are really excited to have them back.
Yes, we are.
And, you know, there's some things I want to bring up. And
well, because today we're going to take a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the topics that we discussed the last time. So today we're going to focus on conflict resolution, which is a big one.
Okay, excellent. So I would love to introduce our very special returning guests, Matt and Deborah Trusella. So, guys, are you with us?
Yes, we are. And hello,
Hey.
Charlie. It's a pleasure to be back on the show with you guys. We had such a fun time with you last time.
That's really good. So, just real quick, share something about who you guys are and your website so our listeners can follow along.
We are public speakers when it comes to marriage and family and relationships. And we are also coaches, and we do workshops and seminars. But our passion is just with relationships and helping the family stay together, which overflows, like you said, into the workforce. Our website is called truelovetrueintimacy.com. And that's where people can go and check out what we have on there, what we offer, and how to contact us.
True love, true intimacy.com.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess, guys, that I have to say up front, right? You know, it's not a perfect world, but I kind of get what you guys say. And I really care about my relationship. And I get to cheat and get some expertise now. But, you know, it just seems to me that if there's a way we can just water everything down, things would be better. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to, if I could, just pick up on something I heard you guys talking about. This is Matt Trusella, the lesser half of the two. And but one of the things that was an epiphany for me, if I can just share it quickly, I'm not sure exactly where I learned how to be so diplomatic and self-controlled in the workplace, but maybe it's just because I was comfortable navigating a family with five kids and taking on a position of as the eldest of being responsible. But my wife came to me one time, and we were in the middle of a discussion that was a little bit escalated and heated, and the phone rang, and it was a situation at work. It was a kind of a crisis situation, and I handled it like I did. And right after that phone call hung up, my wife came to me in a very calm voice, and she said some words that just changed my life. She said, "How is it you can handle these situations of stress and difficulty with such poise and diplomacy, and yet when our boys are acting out or I'm having difficulty, it always escalates into something much more heated?" And at that moment in time, it really struck me as what works well at work should also work well at home and vice versa. And it just changed my perspective. And I started from that day trying to apply the same kind of diplomacy and self-control and gentleness and respect for others that I was giving so quickly at work, but not showing to those within my own home.
That's so perceptive, right? I mean, because, and it was so perceptive of Deborah to say that too. And then for you to realize that she was right, because for some reason we tend to at times be nicer to people that we know casually than we are to those that are closest to us.
Yep.
And I wonder, you know, I wonder sometimes why that is. Is it because we're just so comfortable for the people that, you know, we love? Or is it because we think, well, you know, they're not just going to walk out on us at that moment in time, even though that's not necessarily true? Why do you think that is?
Well, I think it has to do with, you know, it's somewhat self-serving. We look at people in the workplace as, you know, along our side as peers. Maybe they've been entrusted to us if they're our subordinates. We have a collective job to do, and we don't look at the work environment in the same way as we do our homes. And I think we tend to take things in our home much more personally. You know, when my wife says something to me, she does matter to me. Her criticism or her kindness have greater impact than someone says at work. If someone at work says something kind to you, it sounds good, it feels good, but there may even be some kind of background information in my head saying they're just placating me or blowing smoke or trying to get, you know, win favor. Whereas right. When your wife does something like that, it rings more true because you have this trusted relationship with her. And I think you take it more personal when your kids respond to you negatively than you do a coworker, because you don't have to live with them. They aren't, they just don't seem to have the same impact or value.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think it's that, you know, everything is so personal. You know,
it's such a button push when you're at home, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Matt, damn you, you had to say what you said. It was perfect. if everyone would have that exchange, it's almost as if the world would be a better place. It may not be that easy, but God, it's so true.
It is true. Yeah.
You know, like we, and we can say that as well, right? I mean, personally, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's why we're having the Trusellas back, because we need them.
Are you saying that we personally need them?
Well,
I think if I could just jump in.
You guys just seem to put things in simple perspective,
right?
That allow others, in this case us, to actually understand it and move forward.
Right.
You know, and that's what's really cool about, there's some sort of gift that you guys have. And, you know, that's why we're grateful that you guys are with us again. So just want to say thank you for that.
We're honored to be here. Thank you.
I think, too, that, you know, Matt wasn't purposely doing that. He was totally blinded to that's what he was doing, and he had a lot of employees underneath him, so there was some authority. So, of course, he was going to handle that in a much more controlled manner. But it was just speaking the truth in love to him opened his eyes so that he could see, wow, my family matters more to me than anybody or anything out there. I really need to be teaching them or treating them with much higher honor, you know, and much more respect. So it was a turning point in our family's relationship and our family dynamics as well. And I think, you know, I think if people could just, maybe just someone out there will hear that today and realize, wow, you know what, I'm doing the same thing. And I need to be treating everyone the same, which is just love and respect to all people and value them just for who they are.
Well, and you said something, Deborah, just now that I wanted to really kind of focus on was speaking the truth in love. Because when you came back, you know, what's key here is when you came back to Matt and said what you said, you didn't say it in an accusatory way. You didn't say it in a mean way. You didn't say it in a belittling way. You spoke your truth, which also means that you weren't just sucking it up and taking it, because that's not right either. No. But you spoke up for yourself in a way that was respectful, but was also truthful. And I just wanted to kind of reiterate what you said there about speaking the truth in love, because that's a really key point to
me. Yeah, you should write that down.
Well, let me help you with something, because what Deborah did was one of the keys that we talk about in conflict resolution is speaking the truth in love. But the key to that is using what we call I statements. And you've probably heard this before. But when she said it, she said, I really wish, I really like it. She didn't tell me what to do. She was just saying, I wish, I hope. And for most people, our intentions are good, but our execution is flawed. And I thought, you know what? She's not asking something that's unreasonable. Matter of fact, it makes perfect sense to me, but she didn't tell me what to do. Had she come in and said, you know, you need to start talking to us as nicely as you talk to everybody with a you statement, which would have been accusatory and judgmental, I may not have responded the same way. It may not have had the impact, and I may not have achieved or received that epiphany to get that paradigm shift. But it was the way she said it, using an I statement, that gave insight to what was inside of her at that very moment, and it rang true in my heart, and it changed me.
But there's some sort of freedom there that allows you to speak like that, right?
Well, but it's not only that, though. I just like what you said, Matt, because that's so true, and I hadn't really picked up on that, because there wasn't much you could argue with at that point, right?
Right.
It was just perfectly stated, so that there wasn't much you could argue with, but yet, you know, the point was made, and the point was made in a way where you really, like you said, you got it because it hit you in the heart.
Mm. Well, Eva, I might say that the other key point was it wasn't control talk. It was allowing me to choose how to respond from that point on. So she said, I need something. Now, if your child comes to you and says, I need food, certainly you're going to say, what do you like? What can I do? Right? But if they say, you need to get me some food, most moms are going to say, I'll get you some food when I darn well feel like getting you some food.
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah, I mean, it's just that very subtle tweak to the language that makes such a difference in how we respond.
Yeah, no, I mean... you know, we heard from Matt earlier, right, at the beginning of the show, and he nailed it, right? And then we heard from Deborah, and then she nailed it. I don't know what to say, guys, but you kind of make me teary-eyed into agreeing, and that my personal family relationship is more important than anything else, and I need to at least give it the same respect that I give to, you know, others in the workplace. For some reason, there's an imbalance there, right? And it's not intentional, but you guys really know how to explain it.
Right, right.
So, this is really good. We have to take a break, and maybe when we come back, I know where we left off last time, we were talking about conflict resolution.
Yeah.
And of course, I mean, these guys, geez, I mean, they just nailed it already, right, from the get-go.
Right.
But, you know, this also applies to every relationship. It's very important. So anyway, sorry, guys, I'm just really pumped here. Stay with us. We'll be right back with special guests, Matt and Deborah Trussella.
CARE Certification in the Workplace is the award-winning shared leadership training seminar that will revolutionize your career and position you as the go-to person in your organization, regardless of your job description. CARE is the acronym for Courage to Take Action Relevant to Everyone. This means your new workplace mission is to deliver results for the good of the company, but not at the expense of others. Up until now, CARE certification was only available through company-sponsored seminars. But now you can become CARE certified in the workplace on your own time. Order Module 1 today and begin the transformation. There's unlimited opportunity in the workplace today, provided you have the right strategy. Becoming CARE certified is the right strategy. For more information and to order, go to charliespeaking.com. That's charliespeaking.com.
And now, let's return to Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva on TalkZone.com.
And, you know, before we get started, before we take a little bit of a deeper dive into that, why don't you guys talk a little bit about your background, kind of as a refresher for our listeners? Because I know we talked about it when you were here last year, but it may make sense to also kind of give them a starting point. Because sometimes, you know, when we start talking about different issues within marriage, it can seem like, well, you guys have the perfect marriage, but that was not always the case. And you worked really hard to get to the point that you're at right now.
Well, it's funny that you say that, because a lot of times when we're doing one of our 8-week classes, people will come up to us about the fourth or fifth week and go, gosh, when we saw you the first week, we thought, how can they relate to us? They look like they've come from a perfect home, grew up in a perfect home, and they have a perfect marriage. How can they relate to us? And usually when we sit down with couples for some coaching, we always tell them, listen, either we have done it all wrong or we have heard it all. So don't be embarrassed to say anything. You will not shock us. And so what it was when we got married, you know, I had brought a lot of baggage. I had been married before, a lot of hurts that had not been dealt with. And this is what we see a lot when we sit down with couples today, because they're on their second and third marriage. And it's, you know, you've been hurt or wounded in the past. It would do a world, it would just be a good thing for you to do, to go back and get some help with that and work through those hurts so that the next relationship can fully be you totally giving yourself to someone else. And Matt and I had come into the relationship as two broken people trying to make something. And he was trying to provide well and was working well, but he wasn't present in the home. And it's funny, because I hear this a lot with other women that are ready to walk out and leave their husband. They'll say, I've been saying to him, I'm not happy. I'm lonely. I'm not, you know, I don't want to be here. And the men just don't believe that the woman is really speaking what she's saying. And what happens is our hearts get hard, which mine did. And I was ready to leave him almost after 10 years. And he was completely shocked. But my heart had grown so cold from him not being here. And so we set out, first time we met our counselor, we were so volatile. He said, listen, I got to meet you guys separately. And he did, weekly for a year before he could meet us together. And we had to work on our baggage. And then we started going to seminars, reading books, going to classes. And then little by little in our home, we started taking the things that we were learning and helping other couples, which has now expanded to what we're doing now. So,
I think that it's important, as Deborah said, to realize no matter how great things look on the outside or sound to your listeners today, that the real bottom line is that everyone is the compilation of their history, mm-hmm. the good, bad, and the ugly. And certainly I learned a number of great things from my parents, but I also was impacted by the tragedy of their divorce that sideswiped me when I was 17 years old. And, you know, so there was those kinds of things happen, and everybody has their story. And I believe that your story was intended to be used to help others. So, and then speak to people in a way that only you can. If it comes to the devastation of divorce and the ripple effect upon fracturing effects of that upon a family, I can speak to that. Deborah can speak to the things about her first marriage, about a divorce, but also emotional and physical abuse. She can speak on other issues of sexual abuse, not only from her husband, but from others who violated her. I think that, you know, to give you the background story, yes, we are thankful that we are able to take all those things that were the bad and the ugly and turn them for some good, that we might help others either avoid some of the bad and the ugly or even be healed from the bad and ugly mm-hmm. that they're enduring.
Well, the other thing is, right, that, and Eva, we talked about this the other day about, you know, if you want to make a difference, do the work.
Yeah, right? It's about doing the work.
And you and Deborah, you just described, I mean, you guys have done a lot of work.
Well, and I think what's important that you also said was that you did the work individually and then you came to do together to do the work jointly. Because I always think, and I know it's said a lot, is that we have to do the work ourselves first before, and we have to love ourselves first before we can love anybody else. And it seems like it almost becomes a trite saying after a while, but it's so true and it's so deep that unless we're accepting and healed ourselves, it's going to be very difficult to come together in a relationship.
You know, I love Jerry Maguire has two great lines in it. One of them is the biggest lie in town when it comes to relationships or marriages, and the other one is the best advice ever. And the line that's a lie is what you kind of just said, Eva. You know, you have to be complete in yourself first before you can try and be with someone else. But Jerry Maguire says to, you know, his future bride, "You complete me." Well, that's a bad thing. If I need someone else to complete me, then I'm only bringing part of myself to the relationship, and I'm hoping someone else is somehow going to fill in the gaps, and that's an expectation too high for anyone else to accomplish. Mm-hmm. So, number one. Number two, I think the thing that's the best, and I use this all the time when there's things that aren't going well in our household, help me help you. It's a great line, but it also brings a little joviality to the situation, but it also clearly states what I really want to do. I may not seem like I'm your friend right now, but truthfully, I really do want to help you, but I may not know exactly what that means. So why don't you help me help you? Tell me what that means.
So that's a great line.
Yeah, a lot of this is a little over my head, to be honest, right? And that, I mean, I understand it, but it's not that hard. It's not that easy to live by, right? So when you say, "You complete me," how is that? Is that selfish? Is that not really saying anything?
No, it's saying I'm codependent.
Yeah.
I need you to fulfill me. And we should want to, I want to fulfill my wife, but I can't make her more of a person than she is. She has to be a complete person coming to the relationship by herself. Otherwise, she's coming in with a deficit, hoping I can fill that deficit, and I shouldn't. We want to work in complement to each other. But I shouldn't be the one to complete her as a person. I will help her pursue her completion as a person, but I'm not going to be the one to do it myself.
And that puts a lot of pressure on the other spouse, too, because there's a lot of high expectations, and then you're getting disappointed over and over, and that's where conflict sets in, too.
Or you just want to, say the right things, you know. But I guess the second statement of help me help you. That, I get it now, how that is much more valuable, right?
And you know, even if we say that to each other to this day, we always end up laughing. And then we just, you know, but then we can talk about what was becoming a conflict issue at the moment. So sometimes we just need to bring some laughter into the relationship when things are starting to get heated as well. You know, laughter is medicine to the bones, but it's also can just break that tension.
You know, Charlie, you asked earlier, you know, what's the difference between work and home? And another way to put this succinctly is I think that at home we tend to be more subjective about the way things are going, and at work we tend to more easily be objective. And so I like to tell people when it comes to the tough stuff and hard things in the relationship is don't take yourself so seriously and, you know, be a little more objective. Just, you know, don't take it yourself or others so seriously and don't take it personally. Just move on through it and try and find the common ground. You know, conflict resolution suggests that there's something that has arisen that needs to be resolved, and you need to find the common ground for a resolution that you can both agree with, right? So, you know, if you take that personally, you're going to be much less likely to come to an agreement than if you're looking at it just objectively as facts and feelings and stuff that's out there. You can sort it out if it's just out there. If it's on you or in you, it tends to be kind of so solidified that you can't let go of something and then you won't find the common ground.
Right, and you have to be careful too that you take each conflict the same. So for example, that, you know, if I'm having an issue, that can't always be taken lightly, and then, you know, if you're having an issue, then that's always serious.
Right.
You have to be careful of that.
Right.
So I love where this is all going, and we have a few minutes before the break. So I did want to start talking about, you know, and we've been talking about it a little bit about conflict resolution, and I know that you have some tools around it, and we'll start the conversation in this segment, and then we'll go in after the break. But what are some of the, like, seven basic communication considerations that you guys came up with? What are those?
Well, this is just basic communication, and it's really simple. But the first thing is, it's a who, what, how, when, why, and then there's another 2 points. But the first one is, who's this person I'm speaking to? Mm-hmm. You know, I need to really know who I'm talking to, what's their age group, what's their, you know, status,
maturity.
What's their maturity, you know, what are their vulnerabilities, what do I really know about this person?
Pain?
You know, what's their past pain? Mm-hmm. And you know, and realize, you know, trying to get an idea of where they're coming from in the first place. What's their foundation? You know, then I need to think specifically about my content. You know, what is I'm trying to resolve here? What do I want to make sure I share, kind of the truth and love? That goes to how I say what I want to say in the delivery. And in the delivery, don't forget there's so much of our communication is not just our words, but our facial expressions and our tone of voice. And Deborah has a story to tell you about how important that is. But and then the when is important. You know, when a guy comes home or a woman comes home from a long day at work, you know, and there's something that's been unresolved, that's been stewing and brewing for 7 or 8 hours as they've been apart, maybe the minute they walk in isn't the best time to try and bring that up. Maybe mm-hmm. they need to figure out a time, or even talk to that person and say, you know, and of course you hate to hear this, every guy dreads the words when they walk in the door, honey, we need to talk. But, you know, maybe if we look at that as a good thing, she's reaching out, she's trying to come to me with something, and really just said, you know, that's great, I'll be happy to do that, but can I just have 15 minutes to wash my face and take a breath? So the when is important. And the last thing is, why? Do I really need to do this? What's my purpose? How's this going to benefit the relationship? Is this about me, them, or is it really about us? Because if it's about us, you have good reason. If it's just about me, I need to do some soul searching first. If it's just about them, I should do some soul searching and say, is this really going to be productive if I bring this to them? And then the sex one is probably the most important, listening. Before I get all prepared to share my heart, am I willing to listen in this discussion? Because if I'm not willing to listen, then I'm not really ready to resolve anything. And the next thing is, I like to use this kind of phrase. Remember, if you have nothing nice to say, don't say it at all, right? Mm. Or I put it this way. If your mom was in the room right now, and you had a great relationship and you loved your mom, would she be pleased with this whole thing, with the way that you said what you just said? Would it be like you said, Eva, when you hear my wife say something to me, the truth and love statement, I really need or wish, would that give kind of like a sense of awe to others who listened or observed, say, wow, that was really spoken with gentleness and respect, but also with clarity and honesty that was brutal.
Mm.
But those are seven different things there. Who, what, how, when, why, listening, and then will others observing know, you know.
I do a good job on those seven, except for myself.
That's a challenge. Well, no, this is great, and this is a great start. So when we come back, we're going to continue this conversation, but stay with us, everyone. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva, and our guests today are Deborah and Matt Trusella. We'll be right back.
Charlie Labasco is an author, speaker, and trainer with over 40 years' experience in the corporate workplace. Contact Charlie today to interact, influence, and inspire others in your organization. Whether it's a one-hour keynote presentation or a five-day training seminar, Charlie is available to speak on many topics, including making a difference in the workplace, even as one person, building shared leadership teams, and his signature award-winning seminar, Care Certification in the Workplace. Charlie speaking at your organization will make a difference on day one. For more information and to book Charlie, go to charliespeaking.com. That's charliespeaking.com.
Let's get back to Charlie and Eva for more corporate talk on Talk Zone.
Seems I have most of the adjustments to do in this relationship.
I would totally 100% agree
and
with
I
that.
I humbly accept the task because it's coming from Matt and Deborah, I can't fight it.
Right. And if people want to learn more about Matt and Deborah Trusella, they can go to their website at truelovetrueintimacy.com. So before the break, we were talking about the seven basic communication considerations, right? And those were huge. I mean, I love the way you guys laid those out because it just makes it so crystal clear, because I think so many times, sometimes, especially when we're kind of really angry, it's really hard to remember, you know, we need to give our partner a little bit of slack and kind of go through these 7 different points to make sure that we're, you know, approaching this appropriately.
Well, you know, Deborah mentioned something too, right? She said also the maturity level. So you got to be on your game, because you would say different things to different people depending on where they are in the present moment.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So there's a skill there. And in order to develop that skill, we need coaches like Matt and Deborah.
Absolutely. Everybody needs a coach. Yes, I agree. So when we're talking about the 7 basic communication considerations, then how do we apply that when we're in the middle of something heated? Because I know, you know, when we're talking about like listening and also about the when, like, you know, it's a good idea to like, what, just can you give me a minute so I can take my shoes off and get ready here? But also, you know, sometimes stuff comes out of the blue and you just get angry. And so how can you kind of avoid that nasty rabbit hole that we sometimes go down?
Well, I've got a couple things for you. First of all, we need to realize that anger itself takes on all kinds of ugly heads. So, and you know, the psychologists kind of put it this way. They say that when you are acting out in anger, you're either operating out of fight, flight, or even freeze mode, right? But they take on all kinds of different shapes. And so diagnosing some of that, realizing that there's a root. So someone who's maybe using outbursts of anger or even control talk in anger, it really isn't the problem. It's that they actually have what we call a root problem. And the root problem is either a fear or a frustration or a hurt or a combination of all three that they haven't been able to process.
Or communicate about.
Or communicate with, yeah, and share. And so they have to have an environment in which they can do that. So the first thing I'd say is that here's one for you that you've maybe heard before. A person's perspective is their reality. If you're in a conflicting moment or a moment of heated conflict, if you deal with their reality, no matter how crazy or ludicrous or unjustified it seems, then you have hope of rebuilding the bridge of the relationship. If you deny their reality, then you're going to stand on your side of the post, and they're going to stand on their side of the post, and you're going to get into a whirlwind cycle that won't be resolved. So deal with their perspective as if it's reality first and agree with them.
So can you give me an example of that?
Sure. Real simple. My wife comes in and she says, you know, you've been a real jerk today. Well, my first answer could be, how was I a jerk? I mean, I'm not a jerk. You know, you're kind of talking to me disrespectfully. I don't care for that either. So you wind up the whirlwind. If she says you're a jerk, you may not have intended to be a jerk, but given most guys, again, our intentions are good, but our execution is flawed. So if I just start by saying, wow, I'm sorry that you think I'm a jerk and that you feel like I treated you in any way that looks like that. Can you help me help you? Can you help me understand what I did that makes you feel that way? And I invite her into the discussion. She's even acting, here's another one. When someone acts in an offensive way to you, don't ever offer a defense. Just agree with their reality and start working on the reality and understanding the reality, because if they feel like they can come across that bridge to you and share their reality that you're a jerk and you're going to listen to them and not defend it and not try and deny it or tell them that they're messed up, then at least they feel like they're free enough and fearless enough to come across that bridge and share whatever is bothering them. And sometimes when you allow them to do that, the diagnosis is you're getting secondary, you know, you're getting a secondary diverted anger from some other situation completely. But to get there or to discover that, you have to respond to their initial reality first in order to win the right to say, you know, let's rebuild this relationship. I didn't intend to do that. And if you were a jerk, then you can say you're sorry. If you weren't, then they're going to discover it on their own, and they're going to be apologizing to you instead of you apologizing to them.
Well, we could have used Sellers like 90 minutes ago.
Yeah.
We had just
You know what? I just got to say, Charlie, I just love you, man. and you say these things, and I want to give you here's another statement from another cartoon, G.I. Joe. Here's going to give you some hope. Knowing is half the battle. If you realize you're doing something, that's half the battle to fixing it.
There you go. But you know what? I always talk about Kane from Kung Fu, the show in the 70s.
We remember that, don't we, honey?
If you speak the truth, you only have one story to remember.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's profound, actually.
Mm-hmm. I remembered that. But, you know, here's the thing, right? It goes back to what you guys said at the beginning, because this exact conversation came up in an interview recently with me about work. How would you handle something like this, you know, some sort of personnel issue? And I had responded by saying exactly what you said, Matt. I would say, well, you know what? You guys are really good at what you do. Why do you feel that way? You must be right. Let me understand it. You know, so I kind of got in their reality. And I guess what I'm trying to say here is, you know, I can do that outside of the home. I need to, like what, you know, Deborah was telling you, Matt, that time, I need to understand how to apply it more inside the home, right? And I think that could be true with many of us, you know, well, like a man when it comes to workplace conflict. But, you know, in the home, we're ducking and, you know, and all that stuff when we're going at it, right?
I think that understanding, one thing that was helpful for us was, I had to tell myself that the heart of my man is a good man. He's just having a hard time communicating with me right now. And so what was really helpful for us is when our counselor taught us about communication skills was using I statements. And I remember this one time I went to Matt and I said, and I don't even know the situation now because it obviously was resolved. I don't remember it, but I said, I would tell you, but I am afraid of how you're going to react. And it has something to do with disciplining our three boys. And he said when he heard that, he realized, wow, I never want my wife to feel afraid of me. And I wasn't afraid of anything physical happening, but it was just, I was already stressed out and I wanted him to be on my team to settle this, not to have another problem on hand. And I hear that a lot from other women too. They would tell their husbands that they're afraid for some reason or another. And using the I statements helps others understand what's going on inside of me instead of, as Matt mentioned earlier, using a you statement. Well, you always, you never, you should. That's just going to get a fight going. But using I statements gives insight to me what's going on inside of me, and it kind of lowers, diffuses that anger so you can now talk and try to bridge the gap in the relationship.
An I statement would be something like, I need to understand this better?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm. Yes.
Or even, I'm afraid is big. You know, if I say I'm afraid, it's not telling you, it's a way to say you're scaring me without making the accusation of you're scaring me. It's just diplomatic, and it's just a little more clever way to get there. I wanted to go back a second for the roots. You know, sometimes when someone says you're a jerk, I realize that they're expressing either a fear or hurt or frustration. So another great question is, you know, are you afraid? Using an R letter, are you afraid? Are you hurt or are you just frustrated? And I'm helping them diagnose their own problem. And I'm doing it in a way that's not drilling them. Again, very careful tone of voice, facial expression has a lot to do with this. You know, all the intonation, all that has a lot to do with the way they get the message. But are you afraid or are you hurt or are you frustrated? Really is a great way to inquire to get that I statement from them. I am afraid. Okay, help me understand what you're afraid of or how have I caused you to be afraid? You know, and that investigation in a way invites that person across to have a dialogue where you can have a chance to resolve things. So another thing I'd like to share, which is another great negotiation tip for restaurants and, or for business in general, but also with people. When someone comes to you and they have a need and they're heated about that, you know, I'll give you an example of, let's say your son wants to borrow the car till 2 in the morning on a Friday night. You know, the first answer for many parents is what? No way. Right? No, you're not doing that. And their intentions are good. Again, execution is flawed. They're doing that because they're afraid of what might happen on that Friday night at 2 a.m. when all the bars let out. But here's something that's better. Practice this phrase. Yes, under these conditions.
Mm.
So, and if we can practice saving our no's for the really, really important things when it comes to somebody, but find ways to say yes under these conditions to whatever request is made of us, it's just a totally different dynamic. When an employee comes to you and says, can I leave early today? Yes, you may, as long as we can either take whatever work you have or we can make it whatever work you have. You know, what would be a reasonable condition? If I let you go, I'm concerned about the the work not getting done, or other people having to carry your load. What can we do about that? Now I'm putting the solution to the problem that they want on them. I'm not going to just say no because you're going to make someone else work hard or have someone else have to pick up your load. I'm asking them to be a part of the solution, which gives them a reason to be motivated to say, if I do this, then if I'm willing to go this far, then I'll respond with this way. And it creates a connection as opposed to a divisive no. No is dividing. Yes is inviting.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
It's tricky because it does take time, right?
Yeah.
So the longer you... the longer we have with coaches like Matt and Deborah,
right,
the more we'll get it, right?
Right.
Because it's also on the other person to be able to communicate. It's an equal balance, right? It's tricky. Right.
It is, and it's hard not to get defensive sometimes. So even when you're using the I statements, like I'm afraid, what could come back is, well, what are you afraid of? Right? Are you afraid of me? You're afraid of me? Well, yeah, but you know, I mean, it could get very defensive too. And so how do you handle if it becomes defensive?
Well, I think that, you know, sometimes what has to happen is you have to take a break. It depends on that person, or even continue to, if you sense someone's responding defensively, the natural reaction is to escalate along their side. And the key is to de-escalate instead.
Okay.
Which is go back a track. If you say, I'm afraid, and they respond with, well, what are you afraid of? Tone of voice, facial expression, kind of aggressive. You can say, I didn't mean to offend you. I am just trying to express what's inside of me. And you go low again. And if they continue, then you back off and say, maybe it would be better if we can talk about this in another minute or two. I really think it's important we talk. I really want to make sure that our relationship remains untainted. So let's just take a step back for a second. Or even ask him, I really want to be able to speak to you, and I'm hoping that you can hear me. But using I statements again, but de-escalating.
I think the key, too, is to remember a gentle word can turn away wrath. So if somebody's coming at you angry, and, you know, you might have just pricked their pride a little bit, and they're coming at you. But like Matt said, if we put on a spirit of humility, and we keep our tone calm and a gentle word. Also, it's stopping and just making affirmation and assurance that you want to make the relationship better, but there's some things you need to talk about. So maybe the timing isn't right now. Can we talk again later tonight or tomorrow?
And that's a key point, too. When you have something that you want to talk to someone about, when you need to bring something to someone that you're concerned they may escalate on, is you always start that conversation with what I call affirmations. For the future of the relationship. It kind of gives a person a futuristic view to say, what we're going to talk about does not mean that the relationship is dissolving or is going to be over, but rather it means there's a bright hope and a future for this relationship. If you put that out there first, then sometimes it makes the other content a little bit more palatable.
No, that's terrific. That's terrific. So much good material today.
Jeez.
It's just terrific. We're going to take our last break, so stay with us, everyone. This is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva, and our guests today are Matt and Deborah Chisella. We'll be right back.
Let Charlie Labosco show you how to revolutionize your presence in the workplace. Charlie is looking to improve the workplace, and by that he means your relevance in it. Charlie has over 40 years in the corporate workplace. He has seen the unbelievable, mind-boggling, off-the-charts changes in technology, but no real change in our day-to-day and sometimes toxic workplace behavior. Charlie's mission is to revolutionize the workplace by providing the training and the tools needed to lead any organization, regardless of your job description. For more about Charlie and how to be a part of the workplace improvement revolution, visit charliespeaking.com. That's charliespeaking.com.
Welcome back to Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva on TalkZone.com.
We are talking relationship experts, Matt and Deborah Chisella, returning guests to the show, and we're really grateful. We're learning so much. You know, Deborah kind of said something at the end of the last segment, and, you know, guys, aside from everything that we're talking about, there's something else that kind of helps with relationships or communication, and it's speaking tone, right? So when I speak to you guys, you're not really talking at me. There's some sort of, you know, needle and thread that goes on, right? Because you're not wishy-washy, but you're not aggressive. But that tone is so important, I think, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I know Eva's a trained, you know, professional at this kind of thing. I'm sure she could have the statistics at the tip of her tongue. But I do think there's so much to nonverbals. And that's because it's the very first language we learn. I mean, from the crib, as soon as you see your mom or your dad look down with adoration, you know, you've connected very clearly that this is a person who loves me and is going to care for me, right? So we get the nonverbals from the get-go in our development, and it's really what conveys the biggest messages. And as Deborah would say, it is really true. It isn't what you say so much as how you say it all the mm-hmm. time. You know, I could tell you I love you with an angry, aggressive voice, and you'd get the exact opposite of a feeling from that. You know, we can tell by how a dog responds to your own barking. You could be telling the dog in your house that you love and adore. You're the best dog, best friend I've ever had. But if you did it with an aggressive tone, that dog's going to put his tail between his legs and run out the door.
No, I agree. And I want to just share again, truelovetrueintimacy.com. You know, if anybody everybody needs, right? Everybody out there should be checking in with you guys just to maybe see the improvement opportunities. I mean, we're learning so much here.
And if people want to reach out to you, are the workshops around the country, or would they come to you, or how do they work?
We would go wherever we'd be invited.
Oh, okay. Mm. That's great.
Yeah. Making a difference, even as one couple.
Right.
Right. The other thing you mentioned, I think, Matt, at the end of the last segment was, you know, basically saying fighting fire with water, right?
That's a great way to describe it, yes.
You know, but yet we don't do that oftentimes, right? We fight fire with fire,
right?
You know?
Kerosene.
Yeah, so somehow, if we can just understand that we have to calm everybody down and reach everyone emotionally, then we can have our say, but we don't have to just go crazy in the meantime, right?
Well, and I think what's great is that the Trusellas, when, you know, the two of you show that, you know, when you do the work, good things happen. Yeah. Right. When you do the work, when you put it out there, when you really work at it, I mean, you can really tell that you guys know how to communicate. Now, it's not that you don't get angry, but it doesn't escalate to the point where one of you is ready to walk out at any given moment. You know, you guys are respectful of each other, and you know how to communicate what your needs are in a truthful manner, which so many times I think people sometimes just kind of give up and one partner just doesn't say anything.
And what I like is that, you know, we're not perfect, and that's understood.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And, you know, another tool that's really been powerful that we try to help couples understand is, you know, maybe your spouse is trying to change some behavior, but it takes time for change. And so they'll make the same mistake the next day, something they do that irritates you or whatever. And I'll use the wife as an example. She'll bring it up and she'll say, you never, you know, you just did that yesterday. But the truth is, if we talk about something, we resolve it, we let it go. And if the same thing happens the next day, we're going to address that like it's the first time it's happened. And that way the other person isn't feeling always attacked and always defeated that they can never overcome. But they're being coached you're coaching each other to help each other to mature and to change that character trait that maybe you don't like, and you're trying to help them change and mature. So I think that part of that is so powerful, is understanding dealing with things as soon as they arise, settle them, forgive, go on, and if the same thing happens, you act like it's the first time that happens.
If I could just get a 2-second closer in here, you know, when we talk about conflict resolution, so much conflict would never need to be resolved if we just learned how to confront each other on a daily basis about those little things. It's the little things over time that tend to stew and fester that create kind of peaks and valleys. When you want to get to a more cosine, sine kind of flow and ebb. And so to do that, we need to be good at confronting each other and others on a regular basis when before it's festered to the point where it can possibly be divisive and toxic. So simple things. And we use the example of, would you please, I would really like it if you'd put the toilet seat down. You know, it means a lot to me. And here's what the key is. When it goes down, then darn, you better say thank you. Be nice enough to say, hey, thanks. You know what? I really appreciate that. You know, because if we start giving some appreciation for those things we hope for and acknowledge that, it's always the truth. You get more what you expect. And if you expect the best out of people and show appreciation for when they deliver, they're going to do a lot more to stay that way than if they always feel they're under the gun and under the fire of criticism. So,
what I've learned, maybe the hard way, but is that when you do put the seat down, is it down?
It's down,
okay.
Yeah.
When you do put the seat down, you're showing respect back.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that was something that was foreign to me, to be honest, right? And so that in itself, I agree with 100%, you know, and it's, and it may sound like common sense, but this is, you know, personal relationship.
Well, it's all those little things, niceties, you know, that you do for someone.
So no, we have about what, 2 minutes. I wanted to ask Deborah. So, you know, we're talking about couples here, but a lot of times it's maybe too late, or not too late, but after the fact, and maybe hopefully to rebuild for the next relationship or whatever. Are you reaching out to women? Do you feel women can gain more or equally for this, or do you only deal with couples?
We deal with couples together, but I've also dealt with women that have been divorced or they've been wounded and they're afraid to get in a relationship. I know Matt has met with men one-on-one as well. You know, it's just about helping everybody to get to where they're healthy and happy and that they can fulfill the purpose they were created for, you know. And
I was going to ask Matt that exact same question.
Yeah.
I agree that men can learn and need this desperately, right? What you guys offer doesn't exist right now, right? For couples or people in general.
Right.
So, you're doing a fantastic job. TrueLoveTrueIntimacy.com. We want to reach out to you guys on a regular basis. Your bar, unfortunately or fortunately, is really high. but you do really good. You're really good at what you do, and this was a great show.
And
we
were so glad that you came back and shared with our listeners and with us again, because we always love it. It's always a learning experience for us. And
yeah, I mean, you guys, and there's no rule. I mean, you should be in corporate. You could be everywhere. It's everything you say applies to everyone.
Right.
Yep. I agree with you, Charlie. Like I said, what's good at business is good at home and vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for your kind words, and we'd love to come back and chat with you guys. You're so comfortable as host, and
you have a way of getting in there. excellent. Have a great rest of the day. We're grateful. We learned, and we will reach out for sure.
Thank you, Charlie. Thank you, Eva.
Thank
you. And thanks, everyone, for listening again this week. It was another terrific show, and this is Corporate Talk with Charlie and Eva. Have a great week.